time you think of me and you wonder where would I be without each blessing that helped me to see life is much more than things. How you live is more than how you see. When I doubt, what did I really mean? I mean,
KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You've just tuned in to the media ministry of New Zion Missionary Baptist Church of Winfield, Louisiana, pastored by Reverend Tramiel Ham. The Lord says in His Word that in 2 Timothy, preach the Word, be instant, in season and out of season. Listen now as our pastor preaches and teaches an in-season Word.
Isaiah chapter 54, the Old Testament prophecy of Isaiah. For the benefit of all the word on today, we want to begin reading at verse number 7 and a few of the following. Isaiah chapter 54. And the word of God, Isaiah 54, verse number 7, reads thusly. For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment. But with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. For this is as the waters of Noah unto me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee, nor rebuke thee. For the mountains shall depart, and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee. Neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that have mercy on thee. Amen. Thank God for his word. The grass withers, the flowers fade thereof. Word of our God shall stand forever. And we want to tag this text on this morning. Thank God for another chance. Thank God for another chance. Will you look to a neighbor real quick and say to him, neighbor, if there's nothing else we can thank God for, we ought to thank God for another chance. Now, neighbor, I didn't say a second chance because I'm on number 73. So I ought to thank God for another chance. Come on, bless the Lord, but he's getting ready to tell you on today. We're not just this morning, beloved, 11 o'clock worship. It's not just Sunday morning. It's not just a day that we're here to gather and to do whatever we do, to dress up and sing our songs and do our thing. Today, beloved, it's another chance.
Amen.
I don't know if you know this or not, but there are some things that work in this life, things that work in this world that you and I cannot control. And if not for the hand of our sovereign Lord, you would not be in the shape that you're in. Amen. Things are not the way maybe that you want them to be. Every I may not be dotted, every T may not be crossed. But the shout on today, if anybody has one, is you and I have another chance. Amen. Every day has not been perfect. There have been some storms, there have been some bumps in the road, but somebody who's grateful. I need somebody who can look back over their life, and maybe you don't have to look too far to know that if it had not been for the Lord who was on your side, you know where you would be. You know if it had not been for the hand of God, you'd be messed up right now. If not for God's words, you wouldn't even be where you are today. If not for God's love, if not for God's mercy, if not for God's grace, you and I would not be able to come to this house on today and sit with our arrogance and sit with our pomposity and act like we owe God owes us a favor. If we really understood today how good we have it, if we really understood the privilege that we have today just to breathe God's air, just to be in this place, just to open up God's word, if we understood today, we wouldn't have our mouth stuck out. We would not have our chest out like we've done something special, because the truth of it is we're not that special. We're not that relevant. We're not that important, but because God looked beyond our faults, because of God's grace and his mercy, it's not just Sunday morning. Somebody will thank God for another chance. The way it is not the way it has to be, because God is another chance. You might be sick, but you can be healed because you got a God of another chance. You may be down, but you can get up because there's a God of another chance. You may be lost, but you can be found today because there's a God of another chance. Oh, you may have been lost. You may have been messed up, but you can be brought back together because there is a God of another chance. You may be in the lowest of the low, in the ditch, left for dead, but today is another chance that whatever it's been does not have to be anymore. This day can be the next day of the rest of your life, but if you don't take advantage of it, if you don't appreciate it, if you don't embrace it, you'll miss what God wants to say. But I know it's about two or three people besides me on this morning who say, I'm grateful to God for another chance. I know I've been messed up. I know I've fallen short. I know I made some mistakes. I know I've got flaws. So I'm not going to brag. I'm not going to boast. I'm not going to be arrogant. Today, I just thank you for another chance. I got a roof over my head. I got clothes on my back. I got food on the table. I got people in my life. You've got another chance. Thank God.
Thank you, Jesus.
For another chance. That's all I came to tell you.
Thank you, Lord.
That you ought to not be so cavalier with these days that God give us, that the way this thing is going and the way this world is cutting up, the way the enemy is on our trail, how can we still come to God's house and act like it just don't matter? How can we open up God's word like it don't matter? How can you wake up in the morning and act like it don't matter? And I don't know what's wrong with the body of Christ. We act like we died for the world. We act like we done healed somebody. But there's a God. You and I are the evidence and the proof that there is a God. If the devil had his way, you wouldn't be here today. If people had their way, you wouldn't be here today. But here you are sitting clothed in your right mind because God gave you another chance.
Yes, Lord.
It's amazing, isn't it? It's amazing, isn't it? Because I'm talking to people this morning who hate to be taken for granted. You hate when people use you. You hate when you're good to people and people not good to you. Most of us this morning are trying our best not to be played because you've given your best to somebody and they gave you their worst. And you're still looking at them side eye. You don't shout like you used to. You're not happy with them anymore. But there's a God who we play him day in and day out. We use him for air. We use him for blessing. We use him for miracles. We use him for power. We use him for everything. And here we are in his house and won't lift our hands, won't even smile, won't even praise his name, won't lift him up, won't help nobody. Thank God today for another chance. Isn't that new? Isn't that new? Isn't that new? The tragedy today is that there's going to be a remnant who go get it. Just as it is in this text, there's going to be a remnant today who just don't get it. Because we don't know what it costs God to give us this.
It cost him his only begotten son. It cost him, he came down because he loved us so much that he wrapped himself up in humanity and died on the cross for our sins. But see, maybe if we had a cross that we had to hang on, maybe our attitude would be different. Maybe we would have a greater appreciation this morning if we had to be hanging on the cross for 6 hours one Friday. Maybe we would feel a little better today if we had a crown of thorns on our head. But there's a God who looked down here in 2024 and gave you and I the privilege to live life, to bless his name, and he gave his only son that we might have another chance. What you gonna do with it? What you gonna do with your chance? You gonna blow it again? You gonna squander it again? You gonna waste another day not giving God glory? You gonna keep wasting time like God ain't been good? You gonna keep sitting there like God ain't taking care of you? You gonna keep on complaining, keep on griping, keep being hellish? What you gonna do with your chance? What you gonna do with your chance? Such is the case in our text on this morning. In Isaiah chapter 54, there is a prophecy that God has given his prophet Isaiah to give the people of God. Judah has entered into captivity, but God's getting ready to bring them back. They're in captivity. They're lost. They have been displaced from where they're supposed to be. But God gives a word beginning in chapter number 40 telling them, I'm bringing you back. You messed up. You were off there. You left me. You didn't want to fool with me, but I love you, and I'm going to bring you back. It's a word of restoration. Y'all missed it because ain't nobody get happy. I said in Isaiah chapter 54, the Lord sends a word saying in verses in chapters 1 through 39, you did it. I don't like it, but I love you, and I'm bringing you back. You're sinful. You're selfish. You're crazy. You're arrogant. You're pompous. You won't praise me. You won't love me. You won't worship me. You turn your back on me, but I love you, and I'm going to bring you back. You don't praise me. You don't pray to me till you need something. You don't come to me till there's trouble. But I love you, and I'm going to bring you back. You halfway show up. You halfway worship. You halfway praise. You always got an attitude. You give me the blame and never give me the blessing. But I love you. I'm going to bring you back. Same thing. He tells them in the first part of chapter 54, he says to them, sing. Okay. Verse number one, sing. Create a new song because I'm bringing you back. Try again. Sing. You know why they couldn't do it? Same reason you can't. Because you can't see past your own self. Now, here's the problem with Judah here. They did it. Ain't the devil. It's decisions. I wish I had somebody who would tell the truth this morning and say some stuff I done ain't the devil. It's my decisions. I didn't want to do something God's way. I want to do what I want to do. I want to do what the world want to do. I succumb to peer pressure. I did it. I had to take the punishment. But God loves us and gave us another chance. So he says to him, don't wait till you come back. Don't wait till you feel better. Don't wait till you get the healing. Don't wait till you get the provision. Can you hold on to my promise until you get the provision that I'm going to bring you back to where you were? Okay. I must be in the right house. Because, see, this is a word to God's people. And that's just a certain way God's people ought to act. I expect the world's people not to lift their hands. I expect people who don't love God not to worship him. I expect God people who don't love God not to have any hope or excitement. But I thought I had somebody up in here this morning who was just thankful to God that you can breathe his air one more time and come back to his house. Because the truth of it is, some stuff you dealing with, you did it. Well, let's begin. Thank God for another chance. Can we explore it for a few moments? It begins with some dark circumstances. Can the church say dark circumstances? Got your Bible open? Verse number 7, he says, for a small moment, I forsake you. See? 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 See how we are? See how we are? Now, God let his people be displaced under different rule, away from their home. They couldn't get to church. They couldn't get the Bible study. They couldn't get to the house of God. They're not where they want to be, and God caused it. What do you do when the devil ain't your problem? It's the Lord. Because the problem we have is that we don't understand our God. I think we join church and don't be knowing the God of the church. Because if you understood God, all we typically think about is his grace, his mercy, his kindness, how he take care of us, how he feed us, and how he do that. But we don't think about the fact he's jealous. He's jealous. And he's told his people, I'll have no other God before me. And can you picture what God is feeling? That he's being good to people who don't even appreciate him. He's good to people who won't serve him. Time some new God show up, they want to run with that. They won't worship him. They want to disobey him. They want to worship other gods. They have idolatry. They want to worship their job. They want to worship their church. They want to worship people. They want to worship stuff. They ain't got time for God now. And so God says, I'm sick of this. I'm sick of people with my name and don't have my nature. I'm sick of people running up in here acting like they belong to me but not living like they do. And so God says, I'm going to allow some captivity to come in their life. In other words, God's prescription for people sometimes is trouble. Sometimes God prescribes some pain in your life and some suffering because the truth of it is every now and then we get off kilter. We get off path and we start thinking we run things and we think we're in control and we think we got something to do with it. We're watching social media and we're looking at the world and we think that we run things. So God said, I know I'm going to let some trouble come. I'm going to prescribe some pain in their life and maybe they'll come back to me. Here's the problem that you may not, I'm scared to say this to you, but I got to tell you, it took 70 years for the people of God to understand and come back to God. Can I push a little further? Some folk had to die because they never would get it. And I'm so scared this morning because I got to talk to people who going to make a decision not to give God their life, and it may cost you your life not to give God your life. I'm not afraid to tell any of y'all today, y'all better stop playing with your life and stop playing with your soul. It's going to cost you not to give God your life. Yes, it will. Yes, it will. We think everything going to come easy, but it's not. Keep playing like God ain't God. Keep not lifting him up. Keep not blessing his name. Keep not making him the priority in your life. And watch what happens. It's going to be some dark circumstances. I want to tell you today, y'all, what scares me is not losing all my money. What scares me is not being in stage 4 sickness. What scares me is not having a roof over my head. But today I done grew in God, and I want to tell somebody the most frightening thing I can experience is when God turns his back on me. Can you imagine what it feels like to go through life and God ain't fooling with you? Can you imagine what it would be that I done got so messed up in my own mind, messed up in my own stuff, caught up in myself so much that God turned his back on me? Y'all see it? For a small moment, I act like I ain't know you. I ignored you. For a while, I act like I didn't know you. I heard your cries. I see your pain. I see your struggles. But God said, I know you don't see me yet. And see, today we don't get that. Can I tell you why we don't get that? Because some of us don't know what God looks like anyway. Problem in the 21st century church is that 80% of our churches have a good time and the Lord ain't showed up yet. And as long as you can do what you normally do, you think God showed up. And oftentimes we done had good church,
had a good time. I did what I'm called to do. I did my assignment. I did what I'm supposed to do, but you never had the Lord show up. I'm scared. And I'm looking around at all these zombie spirits right now because we don't even understand who God is. Because if you heard God, it's some stuff you wouldn't say. It's some stuff you wouldn't do. It's some games you wouldn't play. If you really understood God, you wouldn't handle people like you do. You wouldn't handle Sunday morning like you do. You wouldn't be in God's house like you are. If you really understood God, that's how I know it's the right word today. And what would you do this morning to know that God done turned his back on you? Because you playing too much. Not taking your soul serious. Everything matters but the Lord. I don't need him for faith, but I do need him for a funeral. I don't want to walk with him, but I do want him to take care of me. And God got sick of it and said, I'm going to let my people suffer. He says, for a brief moment, I've forsaken you. Y'all don't get that. It's like having a child that you done raised. And because that child won't mind, you put the child out. And you sit them out there on the street. And you watch them get hungry. You watch them suffer. You watch them struggle. But because you're a God of your word, because you're true to your word, you go watch that child get it. You want to help them, but you don't. You want to take care of them, but you don't. Because they will not obey you. They will not come into alignment with you. They will not give you any kind of alignment. But you just drive by every day and watch your child, the one that you made life with, sit there and suffer. That's what God did here. God raised these people. God took care of this people. God loved this people, but his people turned their back on him. And God did simply this, y'all. God said, I love you, but I'm old. Turn my back on you. I turned my back. It had to hurt God to turn his back on his people. But he had to teach them how to love him. Because God's not a God who's going to violate his word. And if God says, I'll have no other God before me, that's just what God means. I'm mighty afraid today, y'all, that we done put a whole lot of stuff in front of our God. Whole lot of people we put in front of our God. Everything is more important than your relationship with God. So his people going through life think it's okay. The Lord says, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to take my hand off. And I'm going to let the booger bears get them. I'm going to let Babylon come get them and take them away from a place I promised them. And maybe after 70 years, they'll realize that they need me. Now, let this be today for us a cautionary tale. You don't need no more captivity to realize you need the Lord. How many more troubles you got to have before you realize you need the Lord? How much sicker you got to get before you realize you need the Lord? How many more jobs you got to try to go get to make ends meet before you realize you don't deserve, you ain't over this? It's God who's got to take care of you. It's God got to fight that battle. There's nothing that's impossible with God. But you got to ask yourself a question. Do I even love him? Have I made him the priority in my life? Or is he just something to do once a week? I'm mighty afraid we treat God like an inmate at a correctional facility. We only give him weekend visitations. Don't talk to him all week long. Don't fool with him all week long. But it's Sunday, and I'm going to see him. I'm going to give God some of my time. How you going to give time, time? In the beginning, God. But you're going to give him some time. I'm going to try it again. In the beginning, God. But you got the nerve to post and say where you at. I'm going to give God some time. Oh, we feel good about ourselves because I came to church. I showed up and I could have been watching the game. I could have been fishing, but I say I'll go on, give God some time. So he ought to be happy with me this week because I showed up to his house. This time I ain't sleep. This time I ain't eat nothing. I sat through the whole service. So God ought to be impressed with me because I gave him some time. But on that highway traveling all day and night long, what about the God who kept everything in place? What about in the midnight hour when robbers could have came in and knocked your head off? What about a God who said no? What about a God who took care of that child when you were there in school all day long and nobody came in and shut up the school? It's some crazy people, but God said no to some plan. Can somebody say thank you for God every day? I'm scared, y'all. Verses 7 and 8 scare me because I don't want to live in such a way that the Lord turn his back. I don't like when people mistreat me. I don't like when people turn their back on me. But y'all, I can survive that. I stand before you not ashamed to admit I cannot handle if the Lord turn his back on me. I ain't ashamed to say it. I'm not too much of a man to admit it. If the Lord turn it, Father, I stretch my hand to thee. No other help I know. If you withdraw yourself from me, where in the world am I supposed to go? I wish I had somebody else in Zion this morning who said, I need the Lord every day of my life. I need him to guide me. I need him to hold me. I need him to take care of me. I need him to protect me. I need the Lord. And I ain't ashamed to say it. But for a while, he let me deal with the consequences of my actions. And there are sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, if you and I think that we just got all the answers and don't need the Lord and get too big for our britches and start acting up and cutting up, God will say sometime, I'm going to let you have it. I'm going to give you just what you want. I'm going to give you a godless reality. I'm going to let you fix your own situation. I'm going to let you heal yourself. I'm going to let you deliver yourself from addiction. I'm going to let you handle your own child. I'm going to let you handle your own sickness. I'm going to let you handle your own. Since you don't need me, since you don't want to worship me, since you don't want to spend no time with me, since you won't turn from me to me and you keep turning away from me, I'm going to turn from you. Got a problem, though. When God turned from us, he's still God. When you turn from God, you're still nothing. For a small moment, I have forsaken thee. But with great mercies, I will gather you. I'll bring you back. But for a moment, I'm going to let you deal with your own vomit. I'm going to make you deal with the consequences of your decisions. And I'm talking to some brother or sister right now who want God to stop it. Because you're tired of hurting. You're tired of the pain. But you won't turn. You won't change anything. But you want God to overlook it. You want God to overlook you not want him and just bless you anyway. But you don't want to make any changes. You don't want to make any adjustments. You want to act a fool and then God take care of you. Yeah. You want to act a fool and then have favor. Yeah. You expect it in your mind. The devil got your minds messed up to where you think you don't have to give God nothing. He got to give you everything. God says, I ain't got no problem giving you mercy, but you don't know you need it. I ain't got no problem giving you grace, but you don't even know what grace is. It's dark. It's a dark circumstance to know that God turns his back or take his hand off. Now, here's why it matters to you. Because all of us in this room, over the age of 12 at least, you listening? You know better. In this group of Judah, some single parents. There ain't no excuse. In this group in Judah, it's some who are abused by a father or mother. Ain't no excuse. Nothing that you've gone through is an excuse not to love your God. Can I tell you why? Because of your God, you survived the abuse. You survived the attack. You survived the circumstances. You survived the environment. Stop giving God excuses as though he didn't know all your story anyway. Oh, we got so many excuses to give God. Well, see, I ain't had nobody love me. You got somebody love you now? My mama abandoned me, but your Lord took care of you. And then us church folk really don't have an excuse, because if any man be in Christ, see how you can quote it? I didn't come to shout you. I came to sober us up to our reality, because I don't think we're looking soberly at our soul, and we've missed God doing his business. And it's the church who's struggling first. This ain't Gentiles. This ain't worldly people. It's God's people who purposely turned from him. And we don't know yet why they decided to do that. But then when something happened, it's praying time. Can I ask a real saint something? When is it not? If I got it, Lord, help me to keep it and protect it. If I don't have it, Lord, help me to get it. Yeah. When is there never a time? Oh, it's crime and violence and it's drug abuse all over the community. We losing our sons and daughters. It's praying time. But you don't think them sons and daughters need to be in God's house, hearing his word. Go let Coach provide. That you invest your money in. That you put your time in. That you snapping selfies at. Let that take care of you when you're in trouble. Why is it God's responsibility to take care of something he ain't start? I came to get on your nerves. I came to insult you because we're taking God for granted. As though he just go take care of me tomorrow. I know he is, but I would have a better attitude about it. Because the Lord could turn his back on me. Mm-hmm. These games we play in church and this little mess we run, like God don't see it. Like God don't see the phony. Like God don't see the fake. You shot in here, got people fooled. Let me. In a little wrath, I hid my face. In other words, you don't even get my glory. You don't even get my presence. That you take for granted, I'm going to remove it. Why, God? Because you act like you ain't want it anyway. So I'm going to remove what you say you don't want or need and let you live with what you want. You know, one of the ways God disciplines us is not taking it from us. One of the ways he'll discipline you and I is to give you just what you say you want. Come on, I wish I had somebody. Some of us this morning are living with right what we just had to have. Can I push it? Some of you are living with who you just had. And now you're saying, Lord, what have I? You plotted to get it. You set folk up to get it. You lied to get it. Cheated to get it. Turned from God to get it. Just had to have him. Had to have her. Now God said, go and get her. Go and get her. Ain't take 3 days later. And when you get what you want. And then ask God, God, help me, have mercy. I did have mercy telling you no. I told you that ain't it. I told you to trust me. I told you to do it my way. I told you to live for me, and I'll take care of all your needs. I told you if you put me first, I'll have everything you need. But you just had to be like everybody else. You just had to be one of the boys. You just had to be one of the girls. You just had to be have somebody you could post on Facebook. You just had to go to the have matching pajamas. It's coming. It's that time of year. You hear y'all finna start that mess with these matching pajamas. And ain't got no matching spirits. And when you get through taking that picture, Lord, I'm in a season. You ain't no season. You're living with the consequences of your own decisions. And you can't shout it off. You can't get no Ajax and get it off. You can't go get no awesome and get it off. Sometimes you just got to live with it. And say to yourself, I did it. If my people will call by my name, humble themselves, pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways. Now, here's what shocks me about that passage. How it's amazing to know that in that day, God's people didn't pray. He just said, if my people who are called by my name, God's people won't even be humble. Won't pray, won't seek his face, won't turn from their wicked ways. If it was going on then, that God's people act like they don't need him. God's people arrogant, God's people sinful, God's people stingy, God's people hateful. But God say, I got enough mercy if you just turn. If you just turn and stop making excuses. Well, it's dark circumstances, but thank God for divine compassion. Lord, why you got me preaching to people who don't want to hear this? Thank you, sir, for your compassion, that you love me beyond my sin. You love me beyond my foolishness. You love me beyond my ways. I'll thank you, sir, in your house. I'll be the one to give you glory. I'll do it by my... I thank you, sir, that you love me beyond my mess ups. I turned my back on you. You love me anyway. I didn't want to do what you said, and you love me anyway. Thank you for your compassion. Thank you for your pity. Thank you that you felt sorry for me. And you put an expiration date on my trouble. Look at it. He said, in a little while. Lord, I wish somebody get happy on that. It's bad right now, but in a little while. I'm down right now, but in a little while. I'm broke right now, but in a little while. I'm sick right now, but in a little while. Sooner or later, it's gonna turn in my... It's going to turn around in a little while. 70 years to me, but just a moment to him. In a little while, it's going to get better. I need somebody to get happy in the house of God. I don't need a law to make it happen. I don't need a president to make it happen. I got a God who sits high and looks low, and he loves me. And he's going to let me stay in this shape I'm in. In a little while. I need somebody to get happy right there, because somebody's struggling with something right now. Somebody's dealing with something right now. But tell yourself, in a little while, it's going to get better. In a little while, I'm coming out. In a little while. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. In a little while. In a little while. There's an expiration date. Even on the consequences of your decisions, that God will give you a second Sunday in the month of November 2024 lets you know you got another chance. Okay. This moment here is for those of us who admit right here in church, I've sinned. I've fallen short of the glory of God. My I's ain't dotted. My T's ain't crossed. I made some mistakes. Some stuff I know I did. Some stuff I don't know I did. Some stuff I said. Some places I went that I wasn't supposed to go. But God say I gave you a second Sunday morning that what it was ain't what it got to be. That today can be the first day of the rest of your life, and it's all because of the mercies of God. Ain't no sense in bringing yesterday's trash into today's moment. But if you can't see the fact that you breathing is an opportunity for something to change and shift in your life, you're going to miss the whole day. I don't care what they said about you. I don't care what you've been through. I don't care how bad you sin. I don't care how crazy you are. This day, this moment, it can turn around. Yes, I turned my back for a moment. But because of my mercy and grace, I'm going to turn back to you. Okay, I'm going to try again. Yes, I had to let you get punished. But yet, I'm not through with you yet. I had to let you go through it so you would see me better. But now I'm turning my face to you, and you can feel a light shining. You can feel the warmth of my love upon you. Jeremiah says his mercies are new every morning. That morning after morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is God's faithfulness, Lord, unto us. Look.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, God.
I'm about to get mad in God at y'all. Because here is your chance to overcome it. Here's your chance to come out. Now, here's the only problem. When you come out and receive God's love, for real, you won't trip off nobody else's love. When you know God loves you, and when you know God got you, he'll send the right people. He'll send the right resources. God send me a word to somebody, move on. Pack your stuff and move on. Stop crying over spilled milk. You still got a glass. You still got a new bottle of milk. Pour you something else and move on. Stop tripping over who left you. Stop tripping off who don't like you. Stop tripping off what happened. Move on. Compassion.
Yes, Lord.
Y'all got your Bible open? I'm preaching too hard for this crowd. So let me come on back to where y'all at. Verse number 8 says, for a little wrath, I hid my face. But because of my everlasting love, missed it. You hadn't been living like my child. And it hurt me to do it, but I had to let you go through some suffering. But now, I done turned my face back to you because of my mercy. Now, when you understand God's mercy, you don't need favor. Y'all finna get fighting mad at this. Part of turning is discipline. You don't just keep acting stupid and trust that God will always bring you back. At some point, discipline. Grow. And watch this, church. Are y'all listening to your preacher? I know y'all done shut down, but I got to give it to you. If you get discipline, you won't need so much deliverance.
That's good.
Okay. If you don't leave him, he ain't got to bring you back. And part of why some of us can't get it today is because you're ashamed about where you've been. And you don't think you deserve it, which you don't, but you shame because here you are again. I'm picking up on your spirit. You know God say I love you. You feeling the compassion, but you can't figure out why God would fool with you, and you don't want to fool with you. Because you know how intolerant you are. Because you boast and brag. You only get one time with me. Fool me once. Shame on you. Fool me again. Shame on me. And you be wanting to know why God won't do you like that. This done got quiet. And you can't even accept the fact that God say, I'll give you a brand new life. I know you. And I got compassion for you. But now here's the problem, church. How God will have compassion for people who don't have any for others? You can't stand nothing, but God got to. Because we keep trying to humanize God. And bring him down to our little level of thinking. But you got a God who's got compassion. And if you discipline yourself, you won't need as much deliverance. If you stay away from there. Oh, y'all done got it. If you leave that alone, you ain't got to overcome it. If you stay out of that juke joint or wherever it is, he ain't got to bring you back out of it. When you get disciplined, you won't need as much deliverance. Then you won't be so ashamed about your need for deliverance. And most of us can't get deliverance or development because we won't get past our own shame. So if you're not going to ask God for help, you're not going to make no changes, how you going to get help? I can't let you charge God unworthily. Because sometimes we blaming God for stuff he ain't got nothing to do with. You be wanting God to not heal you, just take away the symptoms. You don't want to cough. You want to have spiritual COVID, but don't want to cough. Because if you spiritually cough, everybody go, no, you got spiritual COVID. Right. So what you do is you try to front like you ain't got nothing going on, but that stuff in you go, I wish I had. That's right. You got to want something different. Stop playing. You got to want something different. And I'm going to tell you something, y'all may not know this, you're going to need your God more than Sunday morning.
Amen.
Can I tell y'all something else? You can't fix you. You can't get this fixed in you an hour and a half on Sunday, 2 hours. Do you really know you? Do you have any idea what you're capable of? And you think Sunday morning going to just fix all of you? Now, if God don't let you get displaced, if God don't let you face it and fight it, you won't get no better. Can I preach or teach truth? The problem with sin is that it feels good. It satisfies your flesh. To whereas on your own, you don't think nothing wrong. If it didn't please your flesh, you wouldn't do it. So you got to learn how to, God allows some displacement, so you'll even understand you need a change. Because sometimes we can get so caught up in our own self that we don't even see a need to do something different. So God says, I'm going to let that stuff stop working. Y'all, man. I'm going to let that not work for you like it's been working. So you will see you ain't in control of this like you think you are. Ooh. Ooh. Now you can't find that high. I can't find that satisfaction. I done lied and robbed people, but I ain't getting none out of it. Now they starting to rob me. When the rabbit get the gun. I thought by now, we had grown to the point we can be honest with each other and let the Lord help us. But I see y'all not ready yet for honest worship and assessments of ourselves. Because we love to point out everybody else's.
Right. Right.
Ain't no way I can tell you what's wrong with you and not look at me.
Amen.
I don't know who told y'all to be... with everlasting kindness, I'll have mercy on you, saith the Lord your Redeemer. Yeah, I let you go through some tough circumstances, but I've got compassion. I'm gonna love you. And my love for you is going to propel me to do something for you. Thank you, Jesus. You can't fix your own life. And tell Iyanla, I said it. You can't fix your own life. You need the Lord to look at you and look upon you and love you enough to know what I need to bring me back in the right place with him. I'm done. Dark circumstances, divine compassion, and then a displayed covenant. I thank him today. That word covenant is a doctrinal word, and so we don't know nothing about that. All we know about is him fighting battles and healing sickness and, you know, all that stuff. That's all we know about him. But none that's worthwhile without a covenant. So God refers back to the covenant he made in Genesis chapter 8 when he let the world be flooded with water because of man's sin. And he let the world be consumed with the floodwaters to punish man's sin. God brought him back, asked Noah and his family to repopulate the world. And it had that rainbow symbol. Show that it won't be water, fire next time. But God says, I love my people so much, I'm not going to watch them drown. Amen. Try again. Amen. They are submerging themselves in their own sin, but I love them too much to let them drown. Try. Y'all shut down. They're submerging in their own sin and selfishness, but I love them. And instead of letting them drown, I'm going to find a way to do something different. Here it is. He says, I remember my word that I spoke unto you. Y'all ain't going to get this. Can I tell you why you ain't got it? Can I tell you why God ain't got his get back on you and me? Because he remembers his word. Mm-hmm. Truth be told, it ain't your prayers, it ain't your fasting, it's because God remembers his word. And that's why when you pray, you ought to pray the word to remind you and to let it be known by God that he gave a covenant by his word that I'm not going to do that to you, I want to do something else. Here, I'm in the text. For as the waters of Noah unto me, this is what God says. This is just like how the world did me in Genesis. Y'all doing me how your grandparents didn't. Lord, help me preach this word right. Y'all playing the same games they played with me in Genesis. Y'all think y'all running some new game on me. God says, I've been here before with my people. I give them life. I give them land. I give them love, and they lose their mind. I've been here before, but God says because I got mercy, because I've got compassion, and because I remember my word, I'm not going to do what I did then. Here's why I love God. One of the reasons I love God. Because what's the point in keep flooding and you ain't going to change? Because God been looking through Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1st, 2nd Samuel, 1st, 2nd Kings, 1st, 2nd Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Psalm, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. Here I am, Isaiah. And my people got a pattern. We'll try it again. From Genesis to Isaiah, my people, whether they're in Israel, whether they're in Judah, I don't care if I use Assyrians to get them. I don't care if I use Babylon to get them. I don't care if I bring Philistines to get them. My people keep doing the same stuff. I'm good to them. They act crazy and walk away from me. Then they cry for me to save them. I save them, and for a little while they act right, and they go right back to acting stupid. Then I got to save them again because they done cried out to me. I save them and restore them. They go right back to acting stupid again. God said, I'm noticing. A pattern. So what's the point in making myself mad, God said? I'm going to do something that satisfies me and then covers them. Missed it. I could kill you dead. And I would not be in violation of what I said. I'm going to do something to enhance what I said, as opposed to something to eliminate what I said. Because I'm tired of killing generations and they ain't got to die. I wish I thought I was in the right church. Have you in yourself, y'all, noticed your own pattern? Come on. I'm about to let y'all go. Come on. Have you noticed within yourself a pattern? I know you're anointed. I know your Holy Ghost feel. I know you too anointed to be disappointed. I know you deep. I know no angels in heaven watching over you. But I need somebody to take a real look at yourself and say, I got a pattern. When things go well, I don't need him as much. Money came through. Family doing well. Child got an A. Bae came home. So I don't really need the Bible as much. I ain't really got to go to church as much. Because things... But then life have a way of lifing, and people have a way of peopling, and you get kind of irritated to your normal little balance, and something happened. Bae start tripping. Stuff start happening on the job, going crazy. I get demoted, I ain't done nothing. Go to the doctor and they find the stuff I ain't know I had. My money don't just get funny. My money gets hilarious. Anybody ever had some hilarious money where your money ain't funny no more? It's just hilarious. I can't keep it to save my life. Here come a bill I ain't know I had. Am I talking to anybody? Stuff start happening in your life that you just ain't, and you be like, and you don't say, President Trump, President Biden, Governor Landry, you start saying, Lord, I thought I was helping.